Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blues Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and we have with us Armin Witt again. Armin, you were actually in Omaha in, like, February.
Was it February? This year?
I think so. It was this year.
Yeah, I guess. It's good to see you again here in another cold part of the country.
Yeah, you know, you're doing your scheduling wrong. You do not visit Omaha in February. You don't visit northern Minnesota in October.
Yeah. And every time I have a hard time finding my sweaters and my jackets and my gloves, so I should just wing it and hope that it's not too cold.
I mean, you lived in New York for years, so you should be used to it, but then you moved to Austin. Did you just, like, throw that stuff out the window on the way down?
Yeah, I guess put on the top of my closet. I never see it on, like, it's 2 weeks out of the year. And, even in October, we're 90 degrees in Austin. So it's like living in an alternate reality where, you know, you just don't understand that other parts of the country can be cold. So it's nice, but it's also weird.
Yeah. Well, you actually were the opener here at Design Camp this year. And you said you've never opened a conference?
Yeah, that's actually true. I've never been like the keynote opener of a conference, and I kind of like play that up a little bit to do a little nervous that I, like I was having a nervous breakdown, and I play a little bit music to pump me up. But it was actually grounded in the fact that it was my first time kind of like being the keynote opening session. It was fun.
And the best part about it is now you're done.
Yes.
You can actually just do whatever. You don't have to, like, keep preparing. The people who do the openers, they're the smart ones.
Yeah, it's nice. And then you get the rest of the day or the 2 days or 3 days people coming up to you and saying how great you are. So you get to bask in glory for, like, 3 days instead of, like, being the closer.
And if it goes, if it goes the other way, you just go to the bar and don't talk to anybody.
Exactly. Luckily, I think it went fine. So people have said that they enjoyed it. So, I can bask in my own glory.
No, your talks have been getting better and better and better. It's one of those things where, you know, the first few times you speak, it's hard. And you've done this enough that it shows. It showed today that you've presented many times, and it's very, you do a good job now.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of feeling confident up there. And also, what I've come to realize is that, yes, you should impart some knowledge and bits of wisdom and show cool work, but I think you want to have people be entertained and enjoy what they're seeing up there. So I think for me, it's part entertainment, part sharing what I've done. And I work on it. I'm not comparing myself to a stand-up comedian, but it's like they work on their material and they refine it and see what works, what doesn't. So I think after many years, I've kind of like gotten a good feel for what
and
works.
And you, which shouldn't shock anyone that follows your Under Consideration, Brand New, and all that stuff, on stage, you're much more honest than I think a lot of people are. I mean, you just flat out said, here's how much money I pulled in, and here is the breakdown of where it came, and here's the breakdown of where it went. Like, and that's something you just don't see.
Right, yeah, no, I think it's, I think someone has to do it. I don't think we're the best example to be doing it. I wish, like, more design firm owners got up and do that, so that more people that do that kind of stuff would be able to know what, you know, how, if what they're doing is valued correctly. So
I think the only reason I would say that the difference is you don't really have clients, so so your money doesn't come in from,
yes,
I build this client X dollars.
Yeah, so we do have a certain freedom in that that money is sort of ours. I mean, it comes from the audience that we have, and it's kind of like very broad and generic where it comes from, as opposed to, you know, pointing to a client or pointing to an employer how much they pay you. So, but I think, you know, I tried to start. Hopefully, I can start to break down some of those barriers and have people be more open about, you know, the value of design, as whether you're an employee, a design firm owner, or whatever.
And I assume you guys are happy with what you guys are doing and not having clients and stuff.
I love not having clients. It's so the process is so much fluid and things happen so quickly. And it's funny because every now and then we'll get a client and I'll get really excited. Like, this is going to be great. I write a proposal. I do the first presentation and everything goes great. And then you start getting the emails and the phone calls with the changes and my thoughts are. And, you know, the VP of marketing thinks this and the salesperson. They go like, you know, why do I do this to myself every time?
And I assume part of that's, I'm going to blame part of this on you, because after seeing your presentation and what you guys did for your brand new conference, was that just last week?
Yeah.
So after seeing like what you guys did for the programs and how much hand assembly, you present that to a client, they're like, we're not doing this.
Right.
I mean, you guys go above and beyond, which I think a lot of designers do when it's for themselves, or they should.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, it's for us, we're doing it. We'll put in the extra time. We'll make it extra special, but... We don't have a client telling us, "Oh, we don't want to pay for you to spend that extra $50, $100."
Yeah, because hand assembly work is really expensive in the U.S. So the fact that we just do it, and you know, if we were to put a dollar value to the amount of hours we spent doing it, it would probably freak us out a little bit. But you know, we do it because we love it and because people appreciate it, and it shows. And you know, it's still done within a volume that's manageable. So what we found is that
What is the volume of brand? How big is the Brand New conference?
This year was the biggest one, so we had 700 attendees.
Oh wow!
So we produced 800 of everything. So there were 800 badges, 800 bags, 800 programs. And last year we had done 500 of everything, and we thought that was the limit. So we found out that 800 is the limit until next year, which 1,000 might be the limit. We'll see.
How old are your kids now? Are they old enough to get those fingers moving in assembly?
Not yet. No, they don't meet a quality control, under consideration quality control. But maybe in 3-4 years, the oldest one will be in the assembly line.
Okay, and he will regret every minute. Be like, why yes. are you doing? You will just kick him out of the design profession before he even considers getting in it.
Yeah, it's funny because I think our kids have a really warped vision of what a parent's work environment is like. You know, most parents go to an office and they work there. And we bring out all this stuff that we're building and hand assembling into the living room, into the kitchen. Like our dining room table disappears for days on end because we're doing stuff on the floor. And like, where are we going to eat today? Like, we're going out. Like, don't worry about it. The table will come back, but today we're going out. So they see us making things at home every time. Like, you're getting, they're probably thinking like, they pay for our stuff doing this. Like, that's weird. But we like that they're able to see an alternate reality for how to make money.
No, I love it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we are back. And if you guys notice the background, the ambiance and stuff, we're like right outside of the keynote that's about to start here in the afternoon. But I don't even know why they didn't just shut it down after you spoke anyway. I
mean, that was my goal, to raise the level so high that everyone would suffer and have to live up to my standards. No.
Thankfully, they had a lunch and everyone forgets by then. It, you know, refreshes or whatever. So, and there's going to be like bonfires tonight and stuff. So... what I wanted to talk to you about, if you want to, is AI4GA.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about it last time on the show. And you guys had a little snafu event, a little internet blew up, a little...
Yeah.
It was entertaining to follow, but...
So I'll try to summarize it really quick, where, you know, we had David Carson come and speak, and he, you know, he came, which was
shocking.
Yeah, it was a
win. I've heard.
And then there was some issues with the poster where I made a slight change to it. I knew I had done something wrong. I admitted it at the event. I then apologized to him by email after he emailed me about it. Then he started commenting on Facebook about what I had done, and I apologized again that yes, I knew I did something wrong. I'm very sorry about it. And for a while, you know, So this whole started happening like Thursday night. The event was Wednesday, and like Friday morning, I woke up and I thought, let's just like reprint 50 of these posters and just send them to David, and he can do whatever he wants with them. And then he just went berserk on Facebook and Twitter and like on LinkedIn. Like, I didn't know you could post things on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, he was like going berserk about it. And I thought, like, you know, if he's going to handle it this way, I can't. Like, reprinting is not going to fix anything. And then what kind of like the last straw for me was that he blocked me from Facebook, from his Facebook. He unfriended me so that I couldn't go on his comments and defend myself. So we're like, all right, we're not dealing with you know, with an adult here. So it's like, there's no point in me feeling bad or trying to apologize because it's not worth it.
Yeah, well, it was highly entertaining in my office, yes. That day, reading the feeds and stuff, and I thought, you know, I mean, I thought overall you handled the aftermath as well as you could, and it was fun to see someone at that level not handle it well at all.
Yeah, it happened. It's sad that it happened, but you know, we moved on. We had another event to do 2 months later, and we have the next one coming up in 2 weeks. So, you know,
but how's the event other than that? I guess the event itself went fine as all afterwards. Yeah. But how is the AI4GA?
They've been great. You know, we have our. The thing that we worry the most about for each event is having enough beer and buying like 10 cases of beer, putting them in ice, because people just love drinking beer and they get up during the presentation and get beer.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of like a really casual environment. The talks have gone great. We do it at a space that's really super nice.
You guys do the same space every time?
We've used it. We're going to do it this year. It's going to end up being in the same place 6 times. It's a really wonderful space. Whenever the speakers come in, it's like, oh my God, this is a great space. And there's like sofas and, you know, it's not like just lines of chairs. So it feels very homey. So the speakers feel comfortable, the audience feels comfortable, we feel comfortable, so it's really relaxed, and they've all gone really great. We usually have a little bit of entertainment sometimes before, so, you know, we have a little guy with a guitar. We have
and I
an
guess
Elvis
I didn't even realize until this snafu, but you guys even do, like, posters for the things, right?
Yeah, so these are, like, old-school lectures where, you know, the person coming into the event would design a poster for the event that we would hand out.
Which I believe even, like, I read Michael Beirut even wrote back in his, like, book or whatever that if you want to win design awards, you go do lectures and you design your own posters. So yeah, that is the old school way.
Yeah, so we really just want to get back to that. Like, you know, you go to an event and you get a really cool poster for no other reason than it's cool. Like, there's no social message to it. There's no making the world a better place through it. It's just a cool poster. Still screened on cool paper, you're gonna get to take home and or to the office and hang it or store it. Hopefully, at the end, you'll have all 6. Maybe you'll have all 12 eventually. So it's really just an excuse to do something cool, that print it and get the speakers to do something. You know, it might take them 5 minutes, it may take them 5 hours, but just to get them out of the routine, I think they enjoy that as well.
Right, and I guess. So much of this profession, and I get that social media didn't exist when we got in it, that it's all promoted via social media, which is great, but there is that no tangible item on a lot of things that there used to be.
Yeah. So we enjoy doing them. We enjoy producing them, and people like them. And so, yeah, it's nice to have a little memento to take back and not just, you know, a tweet that someone made about the speaker. You have something that the speaker actually made.
Right, and it says that it's got the event and everything, so they're like, I was there. Yep. It wasn't just some random thing I showed up. Well, final thing that I want to talk to you about, during your talk, and Kim, who's, I'm blogging for ninapaperblog.com from the conference, so check it out, but Kim was really happy because I think she helps a lot with the show here in Minnesota, she said, that you actually were one of the first speakers I've heard in a while that actually promoted people to enter design competitions.
Like, yes.
Because there's kind of a... And maybe I think it's an ebb and flow, but I've been hearing from people like lately, like, oh, you don't need to enter. You don't need to. And so it was refreshing again to hear someone say, like, there is some value or fun with it.
Yeah, and I think people who have a good business and good clients that don't, you know, they take for granted that at some point they must have entered an award show and gotten, you know, confidence or a client or whatever from it, and they just, after a while, they just denounce it, like, oh, don't enter awards. So it's, I think, even if the system is not perfect, and it's not, I think there's something weird about, you know, a bunch of designers getting together and celebrating design, and, you know, it has its flaws, but at the same time, I think having someone, having five people or six people or three people agree that your work somehow is better than other work presented in the same context, within the same parameters, with, at the same time frame. I think there's something really valuable about that that makes your, that validates what you do. And I think a lot of designers are very quick to dismiss that. And I still think that a lot of young designers, and even, I mean, even like all the older designers, you know, if they want to get a sense that they're still, they still got it, you know, it's a one way to do it. So yeah, I'm a big believer in
it. And as I tell everyone, you can't lose if you don't enter.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's no way of knowing if your, if your work is good or bad. And you can believe in yourself that your work is really good, but until you put it out there for actual judging, and like literally for judging, you don't know if it's good or not. And if it's not, then
and we're not talking, and we're not even talking like results, because a lot of these shows don't, they don't follow that. We're talking like, do your peers think what you're doing?
Yeah.
Is interesting.
Yeah, and I think nowadays we get that more instant feedback through whether something gets posted on Twitter or Facebook or our blogs or whatever. I think there's, that's also a valuable way of seeing if your work is good enough. Does it, with, is it getting traction with other design blogs and stuff like that? So I think there's part of the reason why design awards have lost some value or relevance is because now we have this very immediate system that, you know, if you go on Behance and your project gets 100,000 appreciations or views, whatever it's called, you know, that's a more immediate thing. It doesn't cost you money, and you can tell right away if your project is good or not. So it's a new way of like measuring your work, and it's really valuable. And I think both things nowadays could play a good role.
I think the other one you're forgetting that kind of is your blogs. Like a lot of times they somehow get a logo up on Brand New or Art of the Menu or FPO, and they're like, that's kind of an award, but
yeah,
they don't really pay to enter. But you still judge it. You,
yeah,
you don't put up everything that gets
entered. So I think here the price of entry is the, especially on Brand New, is whether people will like it or not, and whether they'll rip you a new one.
Well,
or
I'm
not.
Brand New. If you don't get ripped, you did it wrong. Didn't you? I mean, that's how it works. Now FPO, people like that stuff, but Brand New, you have to not like it.
Yeah, Brand New is more of you know, on FPO, it's about good posts are the ones that where the project is great. On Brand New, the good posts are the ones where it's like a train wreck, where like everybody can pile on and say like, yeah, this is shit, I hate it, I could have done it better. Whereas like the good work, where it's like, yeah, that was great. Like, let's move on to the next major brand that we can make fun of.
Yeah, FPO is great because you can just flip through and be like, oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm just getting the trans, but Brand New, it's like, I got to read some comments of Vile.
Like if you want to get in touch with like your inner demon, you go on Brand News comment section.
And then I think midway through the comments, just type in the word Paul Rand and then just let it blow up or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, how you, I don't know what it's called, but whenever you mention Hitler in the comments of a blog, like you mention Paul Rand and it's over.
All right, well, thanks, Armin. We'll see you around this weekend. There's like two bonfires the next two nights, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be a little bit cold for bonfires, but if there's s'mores, I'm there.
I think there's beer. I don't know about the s'mores. We'll find out. We'll report back. And next time you come to Omaha or northern Minnesota, get the schedule better, man. Get the schedule better.
In August or July, yeah.
All right.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.